All right, our reading will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter number 4, starting in verse number 35. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you say that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.'" Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Come on, turn to somebody, look them square in the eye. All right, look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
it's harvest time.
It's harvest time.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
it's harvest time.
Harvest time."
Now turn to another neighbor, grab him by the hand, look that neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
are you ready to work?
Are you ready to work?
Amen." We have entitled our message this morning, it's harvest time. You know, the Lord blessed us a few years ago to be able to purchase some land, and as we purchased this land, and the Lord placed it on my heart to share with y'all back in February, March, I can't remember which month it was, to put it on my heart that we need to do a church and community garden. Yes, we're going to be expanding. Yes, we're going to have another building, and I'm believing and claiming it to be true that we will start that process next year. So I figured this year, rather than let that land just sit there, let's go on and do something. And the Lord blessed us, and as I brought it to the church, and we had one of the brothers here at the church has a tractor and went out and just tore all the land up for us and smoothed it all out. Then we had a crew go out there and plant stuff and planted everything that was out there. Then we had some folk who came after stuff was planted and went out and continued to nurture, continue to pull the weeds and make sure fertilizer was down. And if we was having a dry season, remember those, they was going and putting water out there. And then we have folk who went out as stuff got ripe and brought in the ripe fruit and put it in the fellowship hall. And whenever we had service, we tell folks, go on over there and get all that you want. And even when we had other events here, and even when we had our cookout during the summer, we told folks, come on, and we brought the vegetables outside and said, everybody has some. You see, and it's amazing. And then looking at all that God has done, it's a process of labor. It's a process of reaping. But I want you to understand, when we looked at that, and as we're today celebrating by cutting some of those watermelons that we have left and giving the others away, because we got over 16 watermelons back there. Gonna cut some, gonna give some away. But then God just brought me to this scripture. This scripture is the conclusion of the Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman. You see, Jesus and his disciples were on their way home back to Galilee. And normally when folk would leave Jerusalem to go back to Galilee, they did not want to go through Samaria, through the Samaritan land, because of the fact that them folk, we ain't want to be touching. Brother Chester, we wanted to keep them at a distance, so we didn't want to be in the same proximity with them. Thank God we don't got folk who think that way in our country right now, that they don't want to deal with some folk, so they go around where they are, so they ain't got to go through where they are, because they don't even want them to breathe on them, but we ain't going to go nowhere. But Jesus said to his disciples, come on, y'all, we going home, and we're going to go right through Samaria. Samaria, and as they did, they got to the town, Sychar, and Jesus sat by the well, and he was hungry and told the disciples to go get some food. It was the hottest part of the day. And while Jesus was sitting there at the well, a Samaritan woman comes up. Hear this, at the hottest part of the day. For all the brothers and sisters in here, they got to cut grass. Do you cut grass at 2 and 3 o'clock, or do you do it early, or you do it late? But you don't wait till that sun's calm down, beaming on your head to go cut no grass. Because you don't want to cut grass at the hottest part of the day, because Lord knows ain't none of us trying to have a heat stroke. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. So at the hottest part of the day, this sister left the town to come out to get water where she expected nobody to be there. But when she got there this day, Jesus was there. And as soon as she come up, Jesus said to her, woman, give me some drink. She could tell by his attire that he was a Jew. So she says to him, wait a minute, you asking me, a Samaritan, and you a Jew? Jews and Samaritans, we don't talk to one another. Y'all don't like us, so why are you talking to me? And then Jesus is going to say, woman, if you only knew who was asking you this, that I got some water that you can drink, and when you drink this water, you will never thirst again. Because the water I give is a living water. You see, my brothers and my sisters, aren't you glad you got the living water of Jesus? I know it gets rough sometimes, but doesn't the Lord know how to refresh us? I want you to know what Jesus has for us is better than Gatorade, Propel, or any other athletic drink that's supposed to put the electrolytes back in your body. I tell you, when you got the living water. So when this woman heard all this and got all excited, she was like, can you give me some water? He said, go call your husband and come on back and I'll give you some water. You know why Jesus said this to this woman? Because this woman was ripe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The girlfriend was ripe. You see, because in her life, some stuff happened. Because Jesus, when he made that statement, she said, Lord, I don't have a husband. Jesus said to her, good. I know, I'm glad you told me the truth, because you had 5 husbands and you're shacking right now. It's right there in scripture, y'all. Go back and read earlier in the chapter. So what's that was said to her. Jesus was letting her know that she was ripe. You see, when fruit get ripe, when Brother Chester and Lionel was out there pulling that fruit, and thank y'all for what y'all did. Thank you. As y'all was pulling those fruit and those vegetables for us, you understood that the whole purpose of pulling it when it's ripe is saying that it's now time to be taken away from where it is. And now to be consumed. Isn't that what we do when vegetables and fruit are ripe? Right? Because it's time to take it away from where it is so that it can be consumed. Amen. And I learned something else today, y'all, is that don't you know, especially with tomatoes, quote unquote tomatoes, that when tomatoes go through a dry season, but they've already gotten big and green, and then we all of a sudden get a rain spell after about a week of dryness. Don't you know them tomatoes don't know how to stop drinking the water? So even while they're green, they'll suck up so much water and they'll just bust right on open. Because of the fact that it went from a dry, or from feast to famine, from famine to feast, from feast to famine, to famine to feast. Isn't that what happens sometimes in our lives? You know, some of us are on that roller coaster of everything being good to everything being bad. We haven't learned how to balance, but let me get back. So what is happening here in this situation is that this woman was ripe. Deacon Aldridge, the reason why she was ripe, because in her life, She had tried marriage 5 times. And 5 times she what? Amen. Now whether it was of her own fault, because I know it takes two. But still she was in 5 marriages, and all 5 marriages failed. So since the 5 marriages failed, she considered herself a failure. And since she was a failure, and now God number 6 comes along, I ain't marrying you. Come on, we gonna just let it get. So in her life, she saw herself consumed by her own failures and not able to separate the failures from herself. She figured that she had to dress herself with her failures, because now she considers herself a failure. And she didn't want to come to the well when everybody else is there, because then everybody else is going to talk about how much of a that she is. So she said, in order to avoid all of this mess and this talk, I got to come to the well when I know nobody else is going to be there. Because either they're going to come early, or they're going to wait till almost sunset. But they ain't coming at the hottest part of the day. Somewhere between 3 and 4. They ain't coming at that time. So when she walks up to the well, her being caught up in her own failures, Jesus looked at her and said, I got to be here, because I got somebody coming who's ripe. And when this person come, I need to get my disciples up out of here, because all they're going to be is a distraction. So I need them to get out the way. So I'm going to send them to the city to go on and get me something to eat, because I got somebody coming to me who is ripe. And when she comes and she talks to Jesus, and Jesus tells her all about herself, and then Jesus tells her that he is the Messiah, and she said, yeah, we know the Messiah is supposed to come. And since we know he's supposed to come, Jesus said, he already here. He said, I am the Messiah. Don't you know, girlfriend, Reverend Rose dropped everything she had, left it all right then, ran back to the city, went inside the city square and began to shout, come and see a man who told me all about myself. Can he be the Messiah? You see, I want you to understand something. Jesus got her when she was what, y'all? Right. You see, because Jesus recognized what was going on with her. But now the disciples are back, and this is where we pick up the story. Because Jesus says, normally you say 4 months and then the harvest comes. And as Jesus is talking to them, I know some of your translations say, rather than say that it is ripe, what your translation says is that right now the fields are white for harvesting. Because I know some of your translations, some of y'all scrubbing your head saying, where you get ripe from? Well, New Revised says ripe. Because if it says ripe here, it's talking about all fruit. You see, when you look at the other translations that say white, that is talking about the corn of that time. See, the way they knew the corn was ripe was that the tops of the corn heads would get white. And when they turn white, that means the corn is ripe. So what is happening here is that when Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them that the fields are ripe, all white, look. And as he's saying this to them, this woman is now leading a whole bunch of people from the city to where Jesus is. So what the Lord is saying to them is that I want y'all to know, now it's harvesting time. It's time to harvest. You see that when you look at what is coming our way, it's time to harvest. You see that? I want you to understand something. That there's somebody who is a reaper right now that's receiving some wages. And the person he's talking about is this woman coming back with all these folk. All these folk who knew she was a failure. All these folk who knew what kind of life she had led in. All the folk that knew how she was shacking right then and there. We see that she didn't care about what she was. She recognized her failures were things that she did, but her failures was not who she was. But what about us today? Are we able to disassociate our mistakes from us?
Or do we allow our mistakes to consume us and think that's all we gonna be?
You see what is happening to here in this situation? What is happening in this situation is that Jesus is letting his disciples know that you're going to reap where you didn't labor. You see, and I want you to understand something. When Jesus is talking about this, can I go on and break it down for you? What Jesus is talking about here was that, guess what? He is the one who is going to be sowing the seed. You see, because when he went to the cross, stretched his arms wide, died on that cross, don't you know he took the sin of the world from us? And when he died and went into the tomb, the enemy thought he had him. But I want you to know he wasn't there permanently. He was there temporarily. And since he was there temporarily, they put him in there on a Friday. He stayed there Friday night, all day Saturday. He was there Saturday night, but early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. So since he had the power, what he was letting his disciples know is that when they go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, it was going to change lives. And that Jesus had already put in the hard work. You see, anytime you're going to start a garden, the hard work is turning over the soil. You see, because if you got some hard ground, we got to work even harder to turn the soil over. Ain't that right, Brother Freeman? I know you don't work some fields as a kid. I know some of y'all out there don't work some fields as a kid. And I know the one thing you hated was to have to go out and turn that soil over and it ain't rain in about a week. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody yell 2 weeks. I understand that's a hard soil. You got to work hard to turn the soil over. And when it came time to plant, that was easy because of the fact that all you're doing is just putting it in the ground but turning over the soil. You see, that's what Jesus did for us. He turned over sin. He removed the sin from us and took it to himself to allow us to no longer be bound by sin. So when they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, they were letting folk know the price has already been paid. The soil has already been what? Turned over. So all you got to do now is allow that seed to plant in you. And as that seed is planted in you, guess what? You're going to grow. So as he is saying this to them, he knew that this woman was ripe. He sent her back to the same folk that she was trying to avoid. And them same folk who used to look at her and whisper about her are the same folk that now is following this woman to come to Jesus. You see, what I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, you are not defined by the mistakes of your yesterday. I want you now, right now, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Say, I'm not defined by my mistakes of yesterday. You see, and I want you to understand that too many of us are defining folk by the mistakes they made on yesterday. You are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. You are not defined by your mistakes of yesterday, because all of us made some mistakes on yesterday. Lord knows some of us made some this morning, but we ain't gonna go. Now, but I want you to understand something. Since it's now harvesting time, it's harvest time. How do we reach people? You want to know how to reach folk? Through your testimony. This woman didn't go there quoting a whole bunch of scriptures. This woman didn't go there telling all the stuff that she know about Jesus. What she told them is that, come and see a man who told me all about me. And I want you to understand something. We have to learn how to share our testimony. Now, I ain't talking about test a lie. I'm talking about a testimony. Talk about how you know how good our God is. How you know how he lifts you up. How you know how he'll turn you around. How you know how he'll keep a roof over your head. How you know how he saves your soul. How you know how he'll heal your body. How you know how he'll keep you in your right mind. How you know how he continues to make a way out of no way. You got to tell your testimony. Let somebody know just how good our God is and what he can do for you. Because if he did it for me, he can show enough. I say he can show enough. Do it for. You see? But here lies the struggle. Too many of God's folk are walking around with tape over their mouth. Too many of God's folk ain't got time to tell the goodness of the Lord. Too many of God's folk are leaving church talking about what's wrong with the church rather than who makes the church right. Yeah. Too many folk who say they love the Lord and he's the head of their lives spend too much time on stuff that just don't matter. We got to learn how to stop majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. The major thing that the church is supposed to be about is reaching out and touching lives and letting folk know. Because Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So I want the laborers in here to know it's time to. And since it's harvesting time, we got to now go out and share the goodness of the Lord and let folk know that the Lord is a way maker, a healer, a deliverer. He is the only one that can knock down walls. He is the only one that can say yes when everybody else has said no. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know how good our God is, bud? You know, Sister Fee, you know what I've come to realize? When I look at our garden, what would happen if we don't pull the fruit when they're ripe? If we let the ripe fruit stay on the plant, when it has reached its peak point and the plant no longer feeds it, then that means that it now begins to degenerate and die because of the fact that it's no longer receiving nutrients. Because the plant knows that, look, you done grown as much as you're going to grow, so I got to cut you off. We might not have pulled it from the plant, but the plant knows that I'm not feeding that no more because there's others over here that need to. And then we are seeing, could you imagine if we didn't pluck it, we'd see a whole bunch of rotting. Jennifer, the tragedy is how many of God's people are out in this world rotting from the sin in their life? Because those who love the Lord and have allowed him to be the head of their lives are walking by them and ain't sharing the good news. Because we ain't got time for them, because they got just what they. Don't you know that? I know it's hard for us to even say that, because you know why? There's some stuff that we should have got that we deserve. But if it had not been for God's grace and mercy, if it had not been for somebody who saw us when we were ripe and came and shared the good news with us, where in the world would we be right now? You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we think about all that the Lord did for us, the folk he put in our lives at the right time and at the right moment, don't you know we would have rotted in the midst of our sin. So when I look at Chester and Lionel out there, they out there every day just inspecting. Because they know if they don't inspect it and cut it, then it will get overripe. And if it gets overripe, that means it's now rotten. Means you can't eat it. So they were out there putting the work in. You see, and my question to us as God's people, the difference in ripening with us is that it's when the sin that we've been dealing with has been beating us down and we realize that it's time to make a change. Don't you know when we came to Jesus, we came because we realized it was time to make a change. I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being angry and mad all the time. I'm tired of waking up every day frustrated and mad at everybody and everything. But now I needed a change in my lives. And that's when the Lord said, yeah, they're right. They're right for me. I'll go on and go over. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't realize, but the Lord was moving you to go talk to somebody? And when you began to talk to them and share how good God is, didn't that person say, you don't realize you gave me just what I... Why? Because they were right. They needed to hear a word. And when you gave them that word, it wasn't you. It was God working through you. Because God knew that they were right. You see, my brothers and sisters, what gets us right, or what got us right, is when we got tired of sin kicking our butt. And then all of a sudden somebody tells us, I don't have to walk around with that sin anymore. I don't have to walk around feeling guilty anymore. I don't have to walk around kicking myself for the mistakes that I made. I don't have to walk around because, yes, I was a victim, but that doesn't, I was a victim in a situation, but that doesn't mean that I am a victim. I failed at some stuff, but that doesn't mean that I am a failure. We got to understand that all of us in our lives ain't going to always dot all our I's and cross all our T's. We going to make some mistakes along the way. Even as we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we can speak in tongues. We can do this. We can do that. We can shout hallelujah. We can do great things. But don't you know, you still ain't above making a mistake. And even when we make a mistake, you know what we do? We confess our sins because he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us of all unrighteousness. So we understand that our sins and failures don't have to hold on to us. We can let it be known to God, and God will just what? Swoop it up and take it away and move it as far as the east is from the... You see, my brothers and my sisters, I say it's harvest. Now the question is, are you ready to go out and talk? But the reason why we ain't talking is because of the fact that we got some of our own struggles. But I want you to understand that in this life, you're going to always have something you're struggling against. You're going to always have something nagging at you. You're going to always have something pulling at you. You're going to always have something trying to push you left and push you right. But that still should not be the thing stopping you from letting somebody else know that God is good. You might be struggling with a drinking problem. You might be struggling with a drug problem. You might be struggling with some of this and some of that. But you are in God's house and saying, Lord, I need your help. You brought me a mighty long way. I'm not what I used to be. I'm still striving to be better today. And in the process of all that, you can still let somebody know, I serve a mighty good God who took me from a nothing and made something out of me. I serve a mighty good God who saw me at my worst and still told me he loves me. I serve a mighty God who saw me fall more than one time and still he keeps picking me back up. I serve a mighty God who blesses me with food on my table, clothes on my back, a roof over my head, a couple of nickels in my pocket. And how in the world am I going to act like God hasn't done a great thing for me? How come I'm not sharing the goodness of Jesus Christ with somebody else? I tell you, it's harvest. There are too many folk who are getting rotten. And you know how we know that? We got folks shooting other folk. We got other folk killing other folk. We got folk treating each other like they are insignificant. Why? Because they are no longer ripe. They've now gotten rotten. Because God's people have not been sharing their testimony with somebody who needs to hear it. There have been times God has been nudging you. Just go on and say hi to that person. I don't know who that person is. But God just said, say hi. And you'll never know what's going to happen from you just saying hi. God know that you're busy. Well, I got something to work at. Guess what? Who blessing you to do what you're about to do? And if the Lord said, just take a moment and say hi and have a quick conversation, passing one of the BRBC evangelistic cards and say, make it happen on them. And if you run out of them, see me and I give you some after church. And I ain't going to charge you $5. They can just have them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, because we got to stop folk from getting past the point of just being ripe. Because there's too many folk who are still stuck in sin. And now they starting to rot. And when it starts to rot, it's no good for themselves or anybody else. And for us who know Jesus, I know you might not be exactly where you want to be, but you know who has brought you this far. You know who's blessing you right now. You know who made a way out of no way. You know who took you from a nothing and made something out of you. You know who allows you to stay in your right mind. You know who has allowed your heart to beat and the blood to run warm through your body. You know who has given you full activity of your limbs. You know who allows you to see, hear, walk, talk, touch, taste. You know all the good things the Lord has done for you. You know you're able to get up and go to the bathroom all by yourself. You are able to still brush your teeth. You're able to still wash yourself. You're able to still dress yourself. You know it was nobody but the Lord who was allowing you to do all this stuff. You might still have some stuff you're struggling with, but you still got a testimony. You got to tell somebody just how good our God is, even in the midst of you struggling with what you're going through. I want you to know that the Lord's going to bless you anyhow, because when you put your trust in the Lord, I'm telling you, he's going to take you a mighty long way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know how good God is? I don't care where you fell before. You can get up and praise God. You can thank God, because he is a mighty good God. Is our God a good God? Has he been good to you? Has he brought you through the whatever's in your life? I tell you, our God is just good like that.